Always good to be able to pray with my church family, no matter what's going on. Yes, Brother Sonny, if you will, go ahead and start passing that out. Tonight, we are going to finish the church covenant. We are at paragraph 5, the very last paragraph in the church covenant. It's a very small paragraph, and it won't take long to cover. I hope that you've enjoyed going through the church covenant. I have. I think that it's important to look at what people have hanging up in their foyer, hanging up in their church. How many churches have you went in and saw the church covenant and passed that thing repeatedly through your life and you don't even know what it says? But what we've done is we've took some time to go through it and see what it says. And we have found that what it says is based on the Bible. And I think it's been a great study for us. I think it's been a great help. I appreciate the Lord helping me and leading me to go through it. So Brother Sonny is still passing out some papers to everybody. When he gets finished, we'll get ready to go here. But we are going to look at the promise to keep the covenant. The promise to keep the covenant. And I want you to go ahead and get your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and just remain seated. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here tonight. We are to earnestly endeavor not to break this covenant. You know what a covenant is? It's an agreement between two parties. And we have agreed here over the last several Wednesday nights of me covering this. Haven't we agreed that we agree with what's in this church covenant? Haven't we said amen and amen that we believe that everything that's in that church covenant is backed up by the Bible? And haven't I backed it up with the Bible? Haven't I showed you that those men that got together so many years ago to do this knew exactly what they were talking about? And they thought that it was important that if a group of believers were going to establish a church or meet together to have a local church, that there ought to be some kind of general agreement that they all agree on. This is even more so than just a doctrinal statement, has a lot of practical application to it. So it's been good. I think it's been good. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, notice what the warning is about making a vow. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Now, I didn't make anybody sign on the dotted line with the church covenant, okay? We didn't take any vows in here. I didn't say, you better sign your name on here, and if you violate the church covenant, then we'll, tickle you with a turkey feather till you cry or something. I don't know. We didn't say nothing like that, did we? Nobody had to sign anything. Nobody's going to get in trouble. But I tell you what we did do. We went over this thing together, and we've come right down here to the end, and we decided with one another as a church, hey, we believe what's contained in that church covenant is biblical. We believe what's in that church covenant is right. Our pastor has showed us through the Bible that these statements contained in this covenant are based on biblical principles. And we ought to adhere to it. And we ought to do something with it. And we ought to apply it to our life. Now, when you get down here, take your church covenant, and we'll read this last paragraph here together. It says, we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. So if you see your outline tonight, we're going to look at three things. We have 3 points to get from this final paragraph and we'll be finished. First of all, we're going to look at we need to have a promise to unite with a church of the covenant. Number two, we need a promise to carry out the spirit of the covenant. And number three, we need a promise to practice the principles of the covenant. So let's bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Eddie, would you pray for this tonight, and then I'll get going.
Lord, thank you for the time that you've given us here tonight. Please, yes. Brother Dennis, as he gives us the word. Yes,
Lord.
Yes,
Lord.
Amen. And amen. Now I want you to notice first on the outline, we're going to talk about the promise to unite with the church of the covenant. Now notice what the first part of that paragraph is. It says, we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will as soon as possible unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant. Now, what that is saying is that look, if you move, if you go somewhere else, it is your duty as a believer to find someone, some other church that believes this same stuff and is like-minded and believes in carrying out the principles of this covenant and hook up with that church. You can find out a lot about when somebody leaves a church if they left right or not. If somebody leaves a church right, most of the time people don't leave a church right. It's hardly ever over a doctrinal reason, which is one of the main reasons you ought to leave a church. It's over some silly nonsense that they leave a church. And I can tell you how they don't leave right, because they leave and try to get people to go with them. Amen. They leave and run their mouth. Amen. That's not leaving right. And they leave and they never hook up with anybody else. Many people that leave become casualties. And they will just leave the church through some kind of trouble. Maybe it's a legitimate trouble. Maybe it's not their fault of their own. But then they get somewhere else and they say, well, that church is bad, or that church is finished, or there's trouble in that church. But then leave and not go anywhere else. So that tells me it's not just the people in the church, my friend, that's got problems. You that left and didn't try to find someone else to hook up with, you have the problem. And you can see that if you look at them. Now, I've put down here Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. We know the doctrinal implication of this. This is the book of Hebrews. This is, I believe, doctrinally to Jews in the tribulation period. However, this much of Hebrews can be preached and applied to people in the church age. And I certainly believe that it can be applied to us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. And some are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. And I'm certainly not talking about people that have COVID or are concerned about getting COVID right now. That's not, if you think that that's what I'm talking about right now, I'm not talking about that at all. This is a legitimate, serious thing that's going on in America, and everybody has to pray and figure out what they want to do about it and what they don't want to do it. I haven't put much pressure on you. The only thing that I've done from day one, and I'm still going to continue to do that, is just consider not just the physical ramifications of COVID, but the mental, emotional, and spiritual. That's why you may want to pray about chancing it to get back into church, because when you're out of church, it affects you. According to the recent statistics, you've got a 95, 98, whatever percent chance of surviving COVID if you get it. But you have a lot less chance of that surviving spiritually if you're out of church for months at a time. That's the only thing I would say about it. But exhorting one another. We ought to be encouraging one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, probably the day approaching he's referring to here, because it is a tribulation application to it, would be the second advent. But for us, the day approaching is the rapture. And so much more as we see this thing is drawing down to an end and we're getting closer to the return of Christ. And if we don't know if there was 20 or 30 more years, God forbid, before he does come back. And it could be. I certainly hope not. But at the end of our life, you know what that pastor is saying? It's saying if there is ever a time when we need each other and need to be in church and don't need to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, we need to do it now. I can't tell you the number of people just this week that I have talked to, and because they're quarantined or they can't get out to church or they're still physically unwell right now, they say, preacher, this is what they say. I thank God for the live stream. I enjoy watching it, but it's just not the same. Amen, church. Do you know why? Because God never set it up for your main meal to be live stream. Listen, I thank God that we got it. I thank God we got it. I've told you this story over and over. I thank God that your previous pastor got it because I would have never even considered it. Now after having it, I see the benefit of it. And it's a wonderful thing. And we've been able to help so many people in our church because we have it. And we, not only that, but we have several people all over America that tune in and we help them. And we have also have some people sometimes, not just they're sick people and they're shut-ins and they're physically unable to get out to church. And this is good for them. Amen. And we have people that are located in places where they don't have a good local church. And so this is good for them. And I thank God that we can do it. But this is never the Christian's first choice to stay at home in your PJs and eating popcorn and watching the service. You ought to get here and be together. I realize we have many of our regulars out tonight, and they can't help it. They need to be out, and I'm glad they're out. Don't come back. Listen, don't come back until you know you're well. Don't come back till your quarantine's over, you know. Amen. I'm with you. But as I stand here tonight, I realize the value of us being together. It was real good for you folks that could come to come. It's real good when we all pray together. It's real good when we all sing together. It's real good when we all open up the Bible together and get the Word of God together. You know what else is good? You to look at each other. Look at your church family. Maybe you've been out in the workforce all week or you've been here. This is the first time you've seen them since Sunday. And to look at your church family, a family that you should be closer to in many respects than your own blood family. And look at them and say, boy, I'm glad to see them. I'm glad they're better. Smile and laugh and joke with them and talk with them a little bit. And then go and pray with them. And you're going to go out to battle with them as you knock on doors and run from dogs. Amen, Brother Matt? That stuff's important. You can't do that over a live stream. You have to be here with one another. The thing that I'm so thankful to is to watch my church suffer like Christians. You folks have kept your faith. You've prayed. You've prayed for one another. These folks are checking on each other, calling each other, trying to help one another. That's what New Testament Christianity is about. Makes me proud of you. Of course, not in a sinful way, but in a good way. I'm proud of you. I'm glad to see you folks handling this like you are. Because listen, this could be a reoccurring thing until Christ comes back. It's quite possible our world's changed forever. And it's not ever going to get any better. So we're going to have to decide what we're going to do. And what is important. Quantity or quality? Quantity or quality? So it's a promise to unite with the church of the covenant. Find a church, not just any church, and go as much as possible. Now, I wouldn't have said this years ago, but I say it now because the church is in such a sorry shape. I talked to people just recently. I talked with a fellow, but I talk with people often. And I'm sure other pastors do. Now we have a deal where there's very few Bible-believing works left that halfway believe that book. And you get many parts of this country and different parts, especially up north and up north in the Midwest and up north and in the West and even some in the East, but it's not as prevalent. You may not have a local church within miles of your home. There's a lot of people now that's trying to go into a Bible-believing church. They have to drive 2 hours one way all over this nation. And we got people just up the street from the church that won't come. That's an indictment against us. Amen. 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 But I've told them because they talk and they say, you know, it's just when I live 2 hours from the church or 3 hours or whatever, I just can't go all the time. And you know what I told them? And I'll stand behind this. I'll face God with this. If I'm wrong, God forgive me. But I tell them this. I say, look, the church is in such a sorry shape now. This is not just about you not agreeing with everything the church has or whatever. We're way beyond that. I said, you are better off to hook up with a good Bible-believing church that you can't go all the time than to hook up with one right next to you. You can go all the time, but it's worthless. It's worthless. And that's what I encourage them to do. I say, okay, if you live several hours from the church, you can't go every Sunday. You understand that? It's better off that you get hooked up with a good church. It's going to do you better to go one Sunday or two Sundays a month than four Sundays a month to this pitiful mess over here. Amen. That's how I feel about it. So we need to promise to unite with the Church of the Covenant. And you can tell a lot about somebody when they supposedly leave a church over a church dispute or problem and they don't hook up somewhere else. Number two, notice it's a promise to carry out the spirit of the covenant. It says, we moreover engage that when we remove from this place, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant. Now, there's a spirit. And everything that we do, it ought to be the right spirit. Listen, if anything I've tried to get across to you since I've been here and I've been your pastor, this is one thing I've tried to get across to you. It's not just what you do that matters to God. It's why you do it and the attitude that you have when you do it. We're not trying to keep these principles so we can get puffed up and say, look what we do and what others don't. We're not keeping these principles because we're checking off a box. We're not keeping these principles because we're scared God's going to bust our head with a ball bat if we don't. That's not the right motive. That's not the right spirit. That's what he said. It's a promise to carry out the spirit. What is the spirit of the covenant? The spirit of the covenant is we are a local church together. And this is what we all believe together. And this is what we all adhere to together. And because we love the Lord Jesus Christ with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We love our neighbor as ourselves. We want to do what he wants us to do. And we're doing it just to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're with one another and supporting one another. And we're among one another and joined up with each other. That's the spirit of it. That's the thing that I think. And listen, it ain't just the doctrine here. I'm glad you've had a long history of good doctrine at this church and a long history of them telling you which book is the right one. I'm glad you had a long history of rightly divided and good teaching. But that's not what makes this church what it is altogether. That's certainly part of it. It's certainly important. That's why some of you wound up here to begin, maybe at first why you wound up here, because they wouldn't nothing else quite like what you believe. But once you get here, that's not what sustains us. I tell you what is important that's going on here at Holy Hills is that there are people that care about each other and love one another, and they pray for one another, and they cry over one another, and they go try to help one another through money, through food, through visits, through calls. I don't know about you, but I do not want to face the end like in the bad times that I believe are coming. They are coming on the body of Christ. I don't want to face bad times and not have a church family that doesn't love me and don't care about me. I want a group of people around me that we love one another. We overlook one another. We care about one another. We pray for one another. We support one another. We're there for each other. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking just to be a preacher. I'm looking to be a pastor. And I can't be a pastor without a congregation. I can be a preacher without a congregation, but I can't be a pastor without a congregation. And that's how we are to interact with each other. This is a tough time in the life of our church. But there's no greater time to say, God, we have resolve here at Holy Hills. We have resolve that we know you've got all the answers. We're not going to get discouraged and quit on you. We are going to spend time praying for one another, loving one another, and most importantly, loving you. And what I want this to do, listen, you know what I want this to do? The more times COVID rolls through this church, the more times we bury a good loved one, the more times we get a bad doctor's report, the more times we suffer. It'll be doing this. Making us closer, closer, and closer. The more times I hear some disappointing news about people in here that I've grown to care about, Now, in the month of 4 years, it'll tune my heart into them. I ought to suffer a little bit more when I hear about it. It ought to pain me a little bit more. I ought to be more concerned. And you know, the good thing is, I am. And it's not feigned. It's not made up. The last several days, as soon as I wake up, I'm saying, well, I'm going to give it a little bit longer. I don't want to text them right now. I don't want to call them right now. God, I hope they had a good night. I hope they're doing fine. I want to check on them. I hope they're doing better today. Maybe they took a good turn. That's a church. That's a local church. And that's what we have here. And it's worth trying to keep it. Amen. It's the spirit of the covenant. And finally, you have a promise to practice the principles of the covenant. You know, this covenant is based on principles of God's word. Now these statements may not be statements that you get out of a King James Bible, but every one of these statements are scriptural. They're backed by scripture and backed by scriptural principles. And that's where he says there as we end this paragraph in this church covenant. It says we are to unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant. And notice this, the principles of God's word. You know that if you look at your outline, I've included James chapter 1 and verse number 22. Now, James chapter 1, verse number 22 says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do you know we're deceived when we hear the word of God and we don't do it? We're deceived when we sit there and say, boy, that preacher preached a good message. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Man, that was good. Okay, you're going to live it. Then ask if you enjoyed it. Then ask if it sounded good. Are you going to live it? The Bible says if you hear it and you don't do it, that you're deceived. It's no good. And you know what we have to, as we get here to close this tonight, we get ready to start wrapping this up tonight. Do you know what we have to keep in mind here? It's done us no good to go through this church covenant if we don't have intentions on keeping it. If we don't have intentions on doing what it said. Well, what did it say? Just very quickly. Walk together in Christian love. I'm not going to read all of them again. Just a few of them. Walk together in Christian love. Holiness. And comfort. To sustain its worship and ordinances and discipline and doctrines. Contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry. Maintain family and secret devotions. Religiously educate our children. To walk circumspectly in the world. To be just in our dealings. Faithful in our engagements. To avoid tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. To shun pornography. To aid one another in sickness and distress. That's what we went through. And it does no good to say, man, we went through the church covenant. I've never done that. I've walked by that thing so many times, didn't even know what was in it. Boy, Brother Dennis just broke it down real good to us. I enjoyed that. Yeah. Well, can I say this without coming across as sounding mean? Because I don't want to sound mean. I really didn't preach it and teach it so you'd enjoy it. Really makes no difference to me one way or the other if you enjoyed it. I preach this thing and taught this thing so we can do it. We do it. We do it in the right spirit. There's a spirit of the covenant. We have the right motive, the right attitude. There are principles. And as we end this thing, we say this. We say, if I can't come here, I'm going to go somewhere where the Bible is taught and preached and is taught correctly. Now, I want to say this as I get ready to close, just sort of an offshoot of what we're going over, talking about this uniting with a church and ending the covenant by saying, I'm going to unite with a church as soon as possible if I leave one. I am afraid that many people make a tragic mistake. I believe the tragic mistake they make is that they say, well, I've been praying for a new job and God gave me this new job. All right. God gave me this new job and I'm making way more money. I'm just going to have to move to the next state or move to three cities over or whatever. But God gave me the job. I've been praying for it, and God gave me the job. And I go, great, God gave you a job. Where are you going to church at over there? Well, I don't know. You don't know? Do you know if there's a Bible-believing church over there? You know there's a like-minded place over there? No, you don't understand, Brother Dennis. I've been praying for a job, and God gave me the job. Did he? You're going to move your family and raise your family based on an income and a job selection is not nearly as important as finding the right local church. And God help a man or a woman that would move and not even know where they're going to go to church at. And not even know if there's a good church anywhere around there. You'd be better off to stay here and take the salary you got and have less and raise your kids up in a church that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and teaches them the truth. Rather than give it all up for career or whatever. Listen to me. In these last day and times, churches like this are getting fewer and fewer. So when you find one like this, you ought to stay with it. And if you're somewhere and you can, I'll even say this. I'm going to go out on a limb here and just end with a big bang here tonight, okay? I even believe this. I believe that if you're living or located in a place where you don't have a local church like this to go to and you can't get to a local church like this, you ought to pray about picking up and moving everything to get to one. I know that one was hard, and it's okay. I don't expect you to agree with it, but I still agree with it. It's more important than where you live. It's more important than what job you go to. It's more important than what kind of sporting events your children get in. You, in these last days, need a good local church. And thank God we've got one here. Amen, church. Lord God, thank you for this tonight. Thank you for this lesson we had. And I pray you burn it in our hearts and do something with it. Please take care of our people. Please be merciful to them. Get them through this COVID. Get them stronger. Get them some help, Lord. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Help them to keep their eyes on thee. We love you, Lord. We sure don't love you enough. I don't love you enough, but I do love you. And I know I love you only because you first loved me. And I love these people, Lord. They're precious to me, and we all are in this together. We're all in it together, God. Help us to stay together through it. Ride this thing out to the end. Whether you take me up in the air or put me in the ground, Lord, help us to be faithful to each other and most of all faithful to you. Dismiss us in your grace tonight. Help us as we go and leave this place. Get us back here Sunday. Get some of my people back here that hadn't been able to come. Get them back here Sunday, Lord. I'd love to see them. And pray you'd do it. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.